Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, April 24th. I'm your host, Charles Palke, with these news updates from around Wyoming. Fifth-generation Jackson rancher Sam Mead will challenge Representative Harriet Hageman for the U.S. Senate. KHOL's Evan Robinson Johnson reports.
The 36-year-old nephew of former Wyoming Governor Matt Mead says it's high time for the state to stand up for itself. Sam Mead is the great-grandson of former U.S. Senator and Wyoming Governor Clifford Hansen. He launched a campaign for a Senate seat of his own on Thursday.
I'm not beholden to anyone except the people of Wyoming, and I think that Wyoming's in dire need of that kind of representation.
As he puts final touches on his campaign launch, he's standing in the same Spring Gulch cattle pasture where former Representative Liz Cheney conceded to Hageman back in 2022. Like Cheney, he plans to push back against the Trump administration. He thinks the way to do so is through policy. The GOP primary is August 18th. For KHOL News, I'm Evan Robinson Johnson.
New research finds SNAP work requirements do not boost employment as they push people off of food assistance. Tribal communities may be exempt in some cases, but questions remain about the wider impact on Indigenous people. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Daniel Spaulding has more.
The report from the Brookings Institution finds stricter SNAP work requirements don't lead to more people finding jobs. Lauren Bauer, a fellow at the Brookings Institution, says the requirements don't fulfill their intended goal.
But what we actually find is that work requirements only lead to reduced participation in the program. They do not lead to any better employment outcomes.
Nationwide, participation dropped by about 2.5 million people between July and December in 2025, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Under a new policy taking effect this year, anyone enrolled in a federally recognized tribe is exempt from SNAP work requirements. But Bauer says more research is needed to fully understand the impacts on Native communities. Thousands of Indigenous families in our region rely on SNAP. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Daniel Spaulding.
The nonprofit Environmental Working Group has identified PFAS in water systems in Mountain West states that it says exceed health advisory levels. Jenny Kinsey has more.
The forever chemicals were found in dozens of public and private water sources. Urban runoff and military bases have helped to drive a surge in contamination in recent years in water sources in Colorado, Arizona, Idaho, Montana, and parts of Nevada and Wyoming. And in New Mexico, at least 15 water systems, including areas in and around Albuquerque, showed elevated levels. James Kenney, Secretary of the New Mexico Environment Department, says that since 2018, the federal government has been the biggest PFAS polluter.
They are the ones that have released more PFAS in this state than the chemical companies through consumer products.
Other hotspots, according to the working group, include areas near Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs and points along the Colorado River Upper Basin. I'm Jenny Kinsey in Albuquerque for the Mountain West News Bureau.
April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We hear from two advocates at the Wyoming Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
My name is Linda Hawkins.
My name is Jody Sanborn.
We do this work because it's really important to us.
Violence does not pick and choose. It definitely affects more people than what I believe folks think it does. Doing real systems change work and social change work, which is what prevention is all about, takes a lot of collaboration and a lot of input from multiple people at the same time.
It also should not be on the shoulders of a 13-year-old girl or an 18-year-old girl or a 17-year-old boy.
Teaching things like respect, teaching things like healthy relationships, expanding our vocabulary to understand that consent is really just ways of asking permission for things.
Community, families, friends, bystander intervention. If you see something that's wrong, speak about it. Help them. Stand up for that person.
That story was produced by Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman. The latest episode of the Food Network show Chopped aired Tuesday night and featured an all-Indigenous lineup. As Gabriel Pietrazio reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, a Navajo chef took the honors.
From Montana to Chicago, Indian Country's top cooks vied for the Chopped title, but two of them repped the Southwest, including Chef Ray Narajo, who comes from the Santa Clara Pueblo, just north of Santa Fe. Here's show host Ted Allen.
And that means, Chef Justin Paiocchi, you are the Chopped champion. Congratulations, sir. Yay. So how does that feel?
It feels really good.
Paiocchi lives in Fruitland near the Navajo Nation. The 2023 James Beard finalist for Best Chef in the Southwest co-owns Paiocchi Food Group, a high-end catering company. He plans on using the $10,000 cash prize to help pay for his own brick-and-mortar restaurant. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Douglas teen is breaking barriers and cars. The Douglas Budget reports 17-year-old Bailey Wohl has been competing in demolition derbies for 2 years. The sport doesn't usually have many women or teens, but Wohl has several family members who derby. She leaned on their knowledge to get her Mean Girls-inspired car ready and has been competing ever since. Two Canadian entrepreneurs are giving small businesses a new home base in the Cowboy State. Oil City News reports Wyoming's business environment makes it an attractive place to form LLCs, even for out-of-staters. But certain types of businesses need a physical location. Enter Micro Office Solutions. David Hiltz and April Chappell have turned an empty space into 200 2-foot-by-2-foot closets with a co-working area. Once up and running, the space will give people a spot where they can securely store things for their business, a place to work and hold meetings if needed, and a physical address. A former Powell resident has been named to the North Bay Business Journal 40 Under 40 list. Brianna Jeffs is the Senior Vice President of the Wine Division of Silicon Valley Bank in California. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What is the oldest airport in Wyoming? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what are the highest and lowest points in Wyoming? Well, the highest elevation in the state is Gannett Peak in the Wind River Range at 13,804 feet. The lowest point is 3,100 feet at the Belfourche River in the northeast corner. Wyoming's mean elevation is around 6,700 feet. Congratulations to Robbie Everett, who was the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great weekend and join me again on Monday.